welcome to Hockey Mountain High, your go-to Avalanche podcast. Eric Dean here of Mile High Sports, and it's been about 8 or 9 days since I last did a show. And in these 8 or 9 days, the Avalanche were down 1-0 in the series against the Winnipeg Jets after giving up 7 goals on 23 shots. They went back into Winnipeg and won Game 2. Then they came to Denver and won Game 3. Then they won Game 4. Then they went back into Winnipeg and won Game 5. Gentlemen sweep, reverse sweep, call it whatever the hell you want to. The Avalanche scored 28 goals in 5 games on the Winnipeg Jets, including 24 on the likely Vezina Trophy winner Connor Hellebuyck, and came away with a 4-1 series victory over the number 2 seeded Central Division Winnipeg Jets. So that about sums it all up. It was just like one of the more fascinating series I've ever seen, because if there's one thing that I spoke about after game one, it was the fact that the Avalanche, they were far and away the better team in game one. We saw them come out early and we saw them kind of do their Avalanche thing and go out and dominate early. We saw them get a lot of shots. We saw them kind of hem the Jets into their zone. We saw Val Nichushkin snipe the first of the series, 1 of 7 freaking goals he had in 5 games. We saw them just kind of running amok on the Winnipeg Jets. But it seemed like every time there was a turnover, every time there was a mistake, and there weren't many of them, but every time those things happened, it went back the other way and it ended up in the Avalanche's goal. Georgiev didn't have a great time, and it just seemed like there was a little bit of a goalie question mark. Eustace Annanen was sick, and we didn't know what was going to happen there. Arvid Holm was backing up like, man, so much has changed since game one on that Sunday, 10 freaking days ago. It seems like a lifetime ago. But the number one thing that mattered most was this team carried what they did in game one the rest of the way. They imposed their will on the Winnipeg Jets, but the one factor that changed is the factor that I'm going to start the show with. And my friends, that is an apology to one Alexander Georgiev. I think I said this on the show last week when I talked about it after game one, is I do not like to be the hot take guy. I don't like to be the sky's falling guy. I genuinely believe what players say when we ask them about slumps, when we ask them about winning streaks, how they say the highs are never too high, the lows are never too low. Don't let the highs kind of get you carried away. Don't let the lows kind of let you slip away from what you're doing. And we hear this time and time again, and I genuinely do believe it. I do feel like the Avalanche going into the postseason, they weren't playing their best. Nathan MacKinnon has said they were humbled by that. But also, they knew they had something more to give. They knew they could be better, and they pretty much were. I think the most important thing was the goaltending, as much as it struggled late in the regular season, and that carried over into game one, the rest of the team, which also struggled late in the regular season, was able to flip a switch in game one. And it seems like that switch just kind of got lost in the shuffle for Georgiev for an extra game. But I don't like to be the hot take guy. I don't like to watch the Avalanche win 9 straight games. Well, I do, but, you know, I don't like to come out after the Avalanche win 9 straight games, you know, right around the trade deadline, right around the day that Bowen Byram was traded for Mittelstadt back in early March, and write an article about how this is your next Stanley Cup champion. I also don't like to be the guy that covers a team that after they lose 7-0 to the Winnipeg Jets, I'm going to write an article about how the Jets are better than the Avalanche and you better hope to avoid them in the postseason. I don't like to be the guy that rides the highs too high, that rides the lows too low. But I was that a week ago. I felt the Alexander Georgiev situation became untenable, and I felt like the Avalanche are going to be far too... I felt like the Avalanche are going to be kind of just struggling way too much and far too deep in with this Georgiev situation to allow the Winnipeg Jets to kind of score at will and continue to do what they did to Georgiev. And the reason why I went there was because of the late season. I felt like I gave it enough time that when I wrote the article that I did, that it was time for the Avs to move on from Georgiev, give the crease to Anonin if he's healthy, maybe even Prosvetov, and just let this be the end of Georgiev. It was because of the late regular season. It was because of how the Avalanche had big games against Edmonton, Vegas, Dallas, and Winnipeg, and lost every single one. And the only one they were close in was the one that they had a 3-0 lead heading into the third period, only to go out and piss it away and give up three goals and then lose in overtime. Against the Winnipeg Jets, that was the worst of the four. They lost 7-0. Alexander Georgiev was chased after, I believe, sometime in the first period. It was 4-0 Winnipeg. So I write the article, and I'm here a week later, 10 days later, to say that I owe Alexander Georgiev an apology. I am so glad that he went out of his way to basically shut me. What did Yakov Trenin say? I'm so happy that Georgiev shut up all the haters. Well, he shut up me as a hater as well, because I did not think Georgiev had this in him this year. If you recall from the episode I did 10 days ago, I said that the most disappointing part of all this is knowing that Georgiev is a good goalie. You know he can do this. But you can tell mentally he was in his own head. He was kind of suffering, and it was kind of self-inflicted wounds of just not being able to focus and hamper down on the task at hand. And what we saw against the Winnipeg Jets was 19 shots against in the second period, yet the Avalanche entered the third with a 2-1 lead, or sorry, 3-2 lead. We also saw an Alexander Georgiev that in games 2, 3, 4, and 5 had a .940 save percentage and surrendered only 8 goals after giving up 7 in that first game on 23 shots. So I do want to start the show with giving him an apology. But where I want to take it from here is I asked Jared Bednar a question the day before they flew out for game 5 on Monday. The Avalanche practiced at Family Sports, and my question was something along the lines of, you know, since the 2022 Cup Final, there's been a lot of ifs. Like last year, the entire regular season, we're like, you know, we got Evan Rodriguez, but if Gabe Landeskog comes back, your second line is going to be Landeskog, Compher, and Nichushkin. Lekkonen's going to play with Mikko and Nate. And then you're going to have Rodriguez and Newhook kind of together on the third line. You're going to have all that depth. And if Manson's healthy, and if Darren Helm's back healthy, centering the fourth line, if Bowen Byram gets healthy, and if this, if that, if. And the ifs never came to be. It was just a season full of ifs. And then this season, for those that have listened to my show over this past year, there was that one show before the trade deadline where I kind of ran through the roster and the second line, and I'm like, what the fuck is this team? What is this build? If the Avalanche trade for a second line center, if the Avalanche add a fourth line center, if Nichushkin comes back from the NHLPA assistance program, if Lekkonen gets healthy, then this team will have what it takes to win. And the wild part is, they traded for a second line center. They brought in a fourth line center, Casey Mittelstadt, Yakov Trenin. Val Nichushkin came back healthy. Arturi Lekkonen got healthy and came back as well. The goaltending figured itself out. Justus Annunen, after the All-Star game, stepped up as a backup goalie. Brandon Duhaime was brought in for extra depth. Sean Walker was brought in to replace what you had in Bowen Byram. The if all finally added up to finally seeing what we wanted to see. Are you ever going to be completely healthy? No. Gabe Landeskog's still out. Logan O'Connor's out. That's the purpose for the Duhaime acquisition, in my opinion. But all of those ifs finally lined up for the first time since 2022. And I asked Jared Bednar about that, and he said, yeah, it helps. It definitely does help. Because at that time, the Avalanche's depth was carrying the load. You know, now we have a series ender where Mikko Rantanen scored the final 2 goals on Hellebuck before the Josh Manson empty netter. Mikko Rantanen had 2 goals and 7 assists. Nathan MacKinnon had 2 goals, 7 assists. Jonathan Drouin, the last piece of what was supposed to be the top line heading into the playoffs, 0 games, 0 goals, 0 assists. He didn't play. So what was supposed to be the top line? Like when we woke up for morning skate against the Edmonton Oilers in game 82 and Jared Bednar told us we're not going to rest any of the guys, I asked them and they said no. The top line was Drouin, MacKinnon, Rantanen. That was supposed to be what takes them into the postseason. And Drouin, MacKinnon, and Rantanen, obviously with Drouin not playing any games, combined for 4 goals. 4 goals. Yet the Avalanche broke a record by scoring 5-plus goals in every single game of a playoff series for at least five games as well. They had five, they had six, then five, then six, then five, then six. Four goals came from Miko, Nate, and what would have been Drouin. The other 23 came from the rest of the lineup. Seven for Val Nichushkin off the top of my head. Arturi Lehkonen had five. Multiple goals for Wood. Multiple goals for Colton. Multiple goals for Parisi. Just scoring up and freaking down. Multiple goals for Yakov Trenin, I believe. Scoring up and down the lineup. Two for Cale Makar. One of them a beauty that he says he got lucky on. The Avalanche, Josh Manson, point per game pace. Unbelievable playoff series for him. The Manson experience, as people call it. He does a lot of good things. He has turnovers, but you take the good with the bad, and the good outweighs the bad because that's the kind of guy he is. And Georgiev figured it out in goal. It was just a perfect storm of all of the ifs finally coming together, and Jared spoke highly about that. We have a guy in Val Nichushkin who had seven goals in five games. He scored in game two against Seattle last year before he disappeared for the rest of the playoffs. He did not have a goal in game one, but then the series before that was the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Stanley Cup final, where anybody you've asked in that locker room, and you being me, other media, anybody we've asked in that locker room always mentioned that Val Nichushkin was a beast and their best player in the final series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So seven goals in his last five, eight in his last six, six-game goal-scoring streak if you include game two against Seattle. He was quiet in game one against Seattle, as were the rest of the Avs. And then six games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you add that all up. In his last 13 playoff games, Val Nichushkin has been a force. 28 years old. He's physically healthier than he was all of last season. He's mentally better than he was a few months ago. And all things considered, this is the best he's played since the 2022 Cup Final. And I cannot wait to ask Jared Bednar and the guys when they're willing to say that he's playing better now than he was in the 22 Cup Final. He had 9 goals and 6 assists, 15 points in 20 games in 2022 in the playoffs. He's already got 7 goals. He's 2 away from what he had in the entire Stanley Cup Championship run. And he's under contract for 6 more years at $6.125. Just a whopper of a deal. Just an incredible player. To me, Val Nichushkin is the MVP of the first round. Then you move on to the next guy that I mentioned, and that's Arturi Lehkonen, another record broken by the Avalanche. The first set of teammates to both have 5-game goal-scoring streaks in a playoff series. To start a series. And Arturi Lehkonen, who quietly had a pretty decent regular season despite the numbers not being as flashy. Obviously, he missed 30-plus games in the midst of all of it because of that neck injury. But Arturi Lehkonen had 16 goals, 18 assists, 34 points in 45 games. His time on ice dropped a minute 59 than where it was the year before. But then this guy comes in for the playoffs. 5 goals in 5 games. He's got 16 goals with the Avalanche in 32 playoff games. 16 and 32. He's on a 41-goal pace in his Avalanche career as a playoff performer. He played 20 minutes and 12 seconds per game this year, 20 minutes and 45 seconds per game last year, and 17.06 in the cup year. In the cup year, he had 43 shots for 8 goals in 20 games. He's already up to 20 shots, so nearly halfway there in only 5 games, averaging 4 freaking shots per game. He's already got 5 goals. He's already 3 away from what he had in that entire series. He's got 3 assists, 8 points, power play he's producing. He's doing it all for the Avalanche. Arturi Lehkonen is a treasure of a piece for this team as well. I think what the Avalanche have done so well, because you go down further into the lineup, you notice Zach Parise has been awesome. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I was hoping going into the playoffs that Zach Parise pulls a Darren Helm. Not in the sense that he becomes the fourth liner, but in the sense that Darren Helm, for the standard of what he did over his career with the Detroit Red Wings, in 2022, in the regular season, he was just a guy for the Avalanche. And then the playoffs came around, he turned back the clock and became the best version of what Darren Helm can be. Zach Parise, late in his career at the age of 39, he was just pretty much a guy for the Avalanche, an extra depth piece, just like Joel Kiviranta. But when the playoffs came around, he has now turn the clock back and become, I don't want to say the best version of what he could be, because the best version of what he could be is a guy that's up for the Conn Smythe Trophy if the New Jersey Devils win the Cup in 2012. But he's turned back the clock like Darren Helm and taken what was just a normal regular season and turned it into, so far, pretty damn good playoffs. So we love to see that from Zach Parise. I just mentioned Joel Kiviranta. The respect I have, like, the respect he has earned, from myself and from others for how he has amped up his game for the playoffs as soon as the postseason began. Man, you gotta love that guy. I hope he gets healthy again soon and he's back in the lineup. You go back to what the Avalanche did in the offseason when they acquired Wood and Colton. You knew they were building for playoff hockey. They were sick and tired of the Ben Myerses and the Dennis Malgins and the Matt Nietos and the Alex Newhooks. And no disrespect to any of those guys, but the Avalanche looked at their roster last year and said, we need playoff grit and performers. Wood, Colton, Kiviranta. What a freaking line. Now, obviously, Kovalenko's there. He's still a bit of a raw piece and needs more practice time to really figure it out. But not bad so far. Then you get to the fourth line. Trenin, we spoke about him. Duhaime, we spoke about him. Cogliano, still doing his Cogliano thing. Like, this team is loaded with playoff performers. And none better than those two guys that I started this with. Val Nichushkin and Arturi Lehkonen. I'm excited to see what Jonathan Drouin can do when he eventually does play. Which hopefully is soon. Jared Bednar had an update that the initial prognosis for him when he got injured back on around April 18 was 4 weeks or less. So if you look back, we are now one day away from 2 weeks since the Jonathan Drouin injury. I don't know when game one is going to be. I'm assuming it'll be Monday, Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday, depending on how long this Dallas-Vegas series goes. But we're looking at about three-ish weeks. So we're looking at maybe game three, maybe game four, maybe game five of the second round, hopefully maybe game six, when Jonathan Drouin can return. And obviously that's if that series goes that far and if the Avalanche can manage to make it and win. So Jonathan Drouin, I'm really intrigued to see what he can become in the playoffs as well for this team. Joel Kiviranta, Jared said he's going to use this time to heal as well. He's still day-to-day. We'll see what happens there. We saw Cale Makar get winded with a big hit to the chest. We saw Ross Colton get winded with a big hit to the chest. We saw Zach Parise have to leave for the quiet room and miss a handful of shifts after that funky collision where he basically took a thigh right to the head after he fell. The Avalanche winning in five games, they have earned their rest. And all those guys are going to rest, and they're going to need it. You know, back in 2022, whenever we would ask Jared Bednar, Gabe Landeskog, everybody about all that rest, Gabe Landeskog, my favorite Gabe-ism, as I call it, one of the many Gabe-isms we had in 2022, Gabe Landeskog used to say, rest is a weapon. We would say, are you going to be rusty? Rest versus rust. And he used to always say, rest is a weapon. And the guys follow through with that. So that was my favorite quote from Gabe Landeskog. And it's something the Avalanche are going to utilize right now. This rest is going to be huge. Dallas and Vegas tonight, Wednesday night, are going to play game five. We'll see what happens there. The winner is going to take kind of, pretty good control of that series. I believe game six is on Friday. So let's say whichever one of the team that wins today wins on Friday as well. That means that the Avalanche will have their opponent Friday night. And if they have their opponent Friday night, then I would assume game one is either Monday or Tuesday. They'll give Saturday and Sunday off, and game one will be either Monday, May 6th or Tuesday, May 7th. But if that series goes 7, we're talking Sunday, May 5th. If the series goes 7, I cannot see game one until Wednesday, May 8th. Like, there is no chance in hell, in my opinion, that the Avalanche would allow the Dallas Stars or the Vegas Golden Knights, when they're not in a rush, to go from playing on May 5th to May 7th. It's just, I don't see it happening. So Wednesday, May 8th, maybe even Thursday, May 9th is when we're looking at game one if that series goes 7. And if you're the Avalanche, that's what you want. You want another 7, 8, 9 days off between the next game, between now and the next game. And you want those two teams to ultimately beat the shit out of each other. So we'll see what happens there. I'm really excited to see where it goes, but again, I do want to shout out Alexander Georgiev. I do want to shout out Val Nichushkin, and I do want to shout out Arturi Lehkonen. Those guys were awesome. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen were awesome. Kale McCarr, I didn't talk about him enough in these last 20 minutes. He was spectacular. We saw him also kind of flip a switch from the regular season to the playoffs. Incredible performance all around. I am so excited to see the Avalanche in round two, whether it's Dallas or Vegas. That's a tough team, but Winnipeg was a tough team too, and we saw what this Avalanche team can do. The depth up and down the lineup is incredible. It's spectacular, and they're playing the right brand of hockey. They came out in this series, and they said, we are here to remind everybody who we are. We are here to remind everybody that in 2023, the only reason why that what happened is because of the amount of injuries we suffered. All the ifs couldn't get lined up. And that a lot of our important pieces in 2022 had contracts that were up that summer. Berkey, Kadri, Kemper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So with that, I'm going to put a pause here on the show. The Avalanche are off Wednesday. They flew back today. Thursday, they are off. Friday, they get back up and running with practice at Family Sports Center to prepare for their next round against either the Dallas Stars or the Vegas Golden Knights. This is going to be fun. I expect to be on the road here soon. So excited, guys. A lot of good vibes heading into this playoffs. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. Arif Dean here. We out, ya. We'll be right back.